He is risen.
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 He has risen.
He is 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 risen.
Let's rejoice for Resurrection Day as He is risen.
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 And it's those three words that change the course of world history, and it's our hope and prayer have changed the course of your life as well. During our time together today, we're going to be focusing on those three words in the songs that are sung together, in our children's talk, in our prayers, in our reading, and as we open God's word together. We do hope that you are encouraged and challenged by your time together.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Easter. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said that if Christ has not been risen from the dead, then we're the most miserable people on earth. But Christ has been risen from the dead. Let's celebrate that this morning as together we sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah.
Sons of men and angels sing.
guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I hope that you boys and girls at home were more enthusiastic than these three, because I was absolutely awful. And I've been in the Lighthouse Loft before, and I know that the Lighthouse kids can make an awful lot of noise on a Sunday morning. So just to make sure that everybody is wide awake and has lots of energy this morning, I think we should all shout Happy Easter. So I'm going to count 1 to 3. And when I get to 3, I would like you to count or shout as loud as you possibly can, Happy Easter! And your mummies and daddies are going to be making sure that you really do it. So let's all do it in the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Happy Easter! Now, boys and girls, I'm sure that you're aware that today is Easter Sunday. And I don't know what you do in your house, but at our house on an Easter Sunday, we like to have an Easter egg hunt. So that means that later this afternoon, Micah and Eli and Rebecca are going to be running around our garden looking for eggs like this. Oops.
Oh.
Because they are going
to
be... They are going to be filled with chocolates and sweeties. However, today we're going to be talking about some different eggs because we've all got an egg each and they don't have chocolates or sweets inside them. But each one has something that reminds me of why Easter is so very special. Now we're going to look at Rebecca's egg first. So Rebecca, can you show me what's inside your egg?
A cross.
A cross. And this, boys and girls, is really special to me. Because I don't know if you know this, but Jesus actually carried his own cross when he was going to die for our sins, thank you. And he had to carry it a really long way and it would have been super, super heavy. And I don't know about you, but when I have to carry something that's really heavy, I often moan and groan and I grumble. But Jesus didn't do any of that. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble. Jesus willingly carried his cross to the place where he knew he was going to have to die, because Jesus knew that he had to die for our sins to be forgiven. And so he chose the cross, and that's really special for me. Micah, can I see what's inside your egg next? What have you got inside your stone?
Three nails.
Thank you very much. And this, boys and girls, is a bit of a sad egg, because this reminds me that Jesus was actually nailed to the cross. And I'm sure you can see these nails. They were very big and it would have been really sore for Jesus when he was nailed to the cross. And it just reminds me, not only did Jesus die for my sins, but he actually really suffered and he went through a lot of pain for our sins. And he did that just so that we could have our sins forgiven, because that's how much he loves us. So that's a wee bit of a sad egg. However, the next egg is a wee bit happier. Eli, can I see what's inside your egg?
A stone.
A stone. Thank you very much. And the Bible tells us, boys and girls, that after Jesus died, his body was taken off the cross and put into a tomb, and that there was a stone rolled over the entrance so that nobody could take his body away. Now, it wouldn't have been a small stone like this one. It would have been a huge stone. So big that it would have taken lots of soldiers to roll it into place because it was so heavy. But the Bible also tells us that on Easter Sunday morning, when some women went to visit the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And I think that's an amazing egg, because this reminds me that Jesus is so powerful and so awesome that a stone, a huge stone, couldn't even keep him in his grave. And this last egg is my favourite egg. And I'm going to show you what's inside it and why it's my favourite. It is empty. And this egg reminds me of the best news of all, that Jesus is alive. He is not in his tomb anymore. In Mark 16, it tells us that on Easter Sunday morning, when the women went to the tomb, not only did they see that the stone was rolled away, but there was an angel there. And the angel said to them, "He is not here, he is risen, just as he said he would." And so all of these things, the empty egg and the stone and the nails and the cross, they remind me of the Easter story, of how Jesus chose to die on the cross, a really horrible death. And that was put in a tomb with a huge stone rolled over. But the best news of all is that he is not there anymore. He is alive and Jesus is risen. And he is now in heaven with God. And the most amazing news of all is that if you and I believe in God and we ask him to forgive our sins, we can go to heaven to be with them both too.
Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. The Bible says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Let us pray. Almighty Father, on this Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate the resurrection of our glorious Saviour, Jesus Christ, and we give thanks, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our hearts ring out, hallelujah, to the one who is crowned Lord of all. Father, we come to you rejoicing. We also come to you in humility, because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, we also come to you with our petitions. In these days of continuing uncertainty, with illness, disease, and death around us, we ask for your protection and mercy on friends and families. And give comfort, dear Father, to those who mourn. For those who are working in all areas of the NHS, we ask for their physical, emotional, and spiritual strength, as so many are going beyond their call of duty. We pray that all the equipment that is so necessary will be made available in good time. We also bring to you, our Lord, the police, firefighters, ambulance personnel, and all others who are going about their daily essential work. Please keep them safe. We ask, Father, to give wisdom from heaven to those in government and their advisors, that they may be enabled to make good and right decisions concerning the fight against this deadly virus, which is causing such havoc around the whole world. May they also call on Almighty God for that guidance. We pray, our Lord, for our spiritual leaders, pastors, and our missionary families at home and abroad, who shepherd their congregations, that they will be filled with your Holy Spirit as they guide and encourage their flocks. Father, we ask that each one of us will shine with the radiance and light of the risen Christ to encourage one another through these difficult times. And Lord, may we all grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Our reading this morning is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words.
When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense.
Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
On this Easter Sunday morning, I wonder what's the greatest news you have ever, ever heard. Maybe it was about getting a new job. Maybe it was about getting engaged and ultimately then getting married. Maybe it was about having a child. Maybe it was about some news in your wider family and you just said to someone, you know, that's just the greatest news I've ever heard. I want to tell you today that I believe the greatest news that the world has ever heard or will ever hear came from a cemetery outside of Jerusalem. And this news is this, that when the angelic messengers met the women who went to the tomb that Easter Sunday morning, the greatest news is this: he is not here. He is risen. This is the greatest news in the world, that Jesus was not there in the tomb that Easter Sunday morning, but that he was alive, that he had been raised through the glory of God the Father. And on this Easter Sunday morning, I want to share that news with you. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. But let's go back there. Let's take ourselves back 2,000 years and meet the women as they are in a place of spiritual depression, downcast, discouraged. The teacher is dead and buried. All of their hopes, all of their dreams, it seems lie in tatters. And they experience a number of things that Easter Sunday morning. And the first thing they experience is that they move from a place of despair to hope. They move from a place of despair to hope in verses 1 and 2. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They would have made that journey very early, while it was still dark, another gospel writer says. Just as the dawn is about to break, they go to the tomb at the most opportune moment, hoping perhaps that no one will see them. Can you imagine what they talked about as they made the journey there? Maybe they were silent. Maybe they were anxious. Perhaps wondering who's going to be able to roll away the stone so that we can get in to the tomb and anoint Jesus' decaying body with spices. They're in a place of despair. But when they get there, maybe there's a glimmer of hope. The stone has been rolled away. But then secondly, they experience something else. They experience rather life than death. They thought they were going to encounter death, but actually they are experiencing life in the tomb. Verse 3. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Can you imagine how they're feeling now? They've come to the tomb. The stone has been rolled away. They take the risk of moving into the tomb and find that the body of the Lord Jesus is not there. And they're greeted by two angelic visitors. Rather than experiencing death in this tomb, they meet life in these angelic visitors. And in verse 5, as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Women, why do you seek the living among the dead?" How must that question have sounded in their ears that Easter Sunday morning? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Later, the Apostle John would record the words of the Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And listen to these words. Speaking of Christ, he says, "I am the first and I am the last, and I am the living one, and I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore." You see, death was not able to keep its icy grip on Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, because Jesus was dead and behold, he is alive forevermore. These women came with great despair. They're experiencing hope. They thought that they would encounter death at this tomb, but now they're meeting life.
This is an old hymn that I grew up with, which you had to sing on Easter Sunday morning. No matter what else you were going to sing, you had to sing this hymn. And I haven't had a chance to play it for many, many years. I thought we would do it this morning. It's called "Up From the Grave He Arose."
Jesus, my Lord.
loudest words the world has ever heard or will ever hear. Verse 6, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. This is the third thing they're experiencing. They've moved from a place of despair to hope. Rather than thinking they would encounter death, they're experiencing life. And they're moving now from a place of grief to joy. He continues, the angelic visitor says that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. Jesus, it's already been testified about him that he and he alone has the words of eternal life. These women remember his life-giving words. They're moving from a place of grief to joy. But the last thing they will experience and the last thing they will do is share the hope. They will share the hope in verses 9 to 12. And returning from the tomb, another gospel writer says, and running from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Can you imagine how the disciples are feeling? They haven't even had the strength to go to the tomb. They're in a place of utter despondency. Their life appears to be hopeless and destitute without Jesus. And so these women run back to the disciples. Verse 10, now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But consider how the apostles received the words. But these words seemed to be like idle talk and they did not believe them. But what about Peter? Peter, who said he would never let his Lord down, who would never leave his side. Peter, who disowned his Lord three times. Peter, who was a failure. But he hears words of hope on this resurrection morning. Consider what Luke says about the response of Peter to the words of the women. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. He who had run away from his Lord when his Lord needed him the most, Peter hears words of hope. Peter hears words of grace. Peter hears that mainly his failure will not be final. And so he runs. He runs to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. On this resurrection Sunday morning, you can be in a place of hope because of the resurrection. You can experience joy because of the resurrection. But you who might identify with Simon Peter and say, you know what, I've been running from the Lord for years. I've failed so many times. I'm so far from the fold of God. There's great hope this morning that you too, like Peter, can run to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will embrace you. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you of your sin and your law breaking and give you a new life.
We're going to sing again this morning this great song that we've been learning over the last few weeks. It's called Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death. And it reminds us that in the risen Christ, our hope springs eternal. Unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ, he lives. Christ, he lives. Let's sing together.
Our days within his hand.
and thank you all for joining us this morning, and for everybody who has taken part. It's been a real blessing to us, and we do hope that you have a very happy Easter and that you celebrate in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If there's anything that we can do for you this week, please do get in touch. And even if you're not a Christian, you just want to find out more about what it is to believe in the resurrection, to believe in Jesus, please do get in touch, and we'd love to chat that through. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the grave is indeed empty. Father, thank you that Christ is resurrected. He is alive and well, reigning on high. And we do recognize that he is coming back. Father, would you help us to look to the clouds and look for him coming again in anticipation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.